This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 1st of June, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutional leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, everyone. I've got a busy show this morning. I've got a giveaway, and I've got a guest in studio joining me this morning, Thursday, the 1st of June, the beginning of Pride Month in the U.S., is Mrs. Usha Pitts, Chargé d'Affaires at the U.S. Embassy, and we are going to be discussing the initiation, the announcing, the kicking off, the start of Pride Month 3. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Hi. Yes, good morning, Erin. It's so nice to be with you again.
Absolutely. One day we're going to get you back in the studio, primarily because you could only get the fruit and the gifts if you're in the studio.
Also, I'm not eligible for that giveaway.
Well, I'm afraid you're missing out on your blessings because you got to be in studio to collect them.
Okay, fair enough.
Good morning. It's great to have you on the show again. And this morning we're talking about U.S. Pride Month. I guess let's start with the U.S. Embassy Pride Statement. Do you mind if I read it?
No, go ahead.
Great. U.S. Embassy Nassau kicked off Pride Month today, Thursday, June 1st, by raising the rainbow flag at the Queen Street Chancery and at Liberty Overlook, the ambassador's residence. The embassy is supporting events throughout the month of June to celebrate the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex community. Events include a film screening, a safe space chat on inclusion issues, a diplomatic reception, and social gatherings. Quote, America would not be the world power it is today without drawing from the strength of LGBTQI plus individuals. They have strengthened our public service, military, educational system, and culture. This is a great time to celebrate their contributions. During Pride Month in June, we celebrate the LGBTQI plus community. We invite every Bahamian to enjoy the blessing of liberty and life in a free society. And of course, we encourage you to take pride in who you are, just as you are. Close quote. And I want to end there. Again, thank you so much for joining me. I will start with some questions. Why is Pride Month celebrated in the U.S.? And why is it important to celebrate it both at the community level, at the state level, and the federal level?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm happy to answer that. I think, first of all, it's important to remember where Pride came from, because Pride has a really long history in the United States. And it was by the Stonewall riots in New York City back in 1969, so over 50 years ago. And that was and that riot kind of touched off the gay pride movement in the United States. Not that there weren't always LGBTQI plus activists, but gay pride really started with Stonewall. And it was only a year or two after Stonewall that cities and communities started holding gay pride parades and celebrating Pride Month in June. So that's where it comes from. And it's been around so long now that every state in the union is going to have some kind of pride celebration, many communities, many cities.
All right. I was going to ask, what does Pride Month look like across the USA? But more importantly, what are the activities planned for this year's celebration in the Bahamas?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me address the first thing about in the United States. I think, you know, I went to my first Pride parade as a 17-year-old in California, and it just blew my mind. I had such a good time. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. And it's I think that that's kind of impelled my pride ever since, because it was such a joyous experience. And the last time I attended a Pride parade was actually in Taiwan, right before I came to the Bahamas. So mm-hmm. It's become a global celebration. And here in the Bahamas, yes, we're not having a Pride parade, but we raise the rainbow flag, of course, in support of the LGBTQI+ community. We are also partnering with local Bahamians to celebrate Pride. Some of those, you know, some of those events are going to be like you said, a film festival. I'm going to hold a reception. The Turn Gallery has an event. The ICE Incubator for Creative Expression will be holding an event. And also, you know, it's not Pride without a party. So we have a couple of happy hours, one of them at Pirate Republic downtown next Friday.
Oh, That's awesome. There's also Equality Bahamas is hosting their regular Women Wednesdays talk series as a part. And go on.
There are quite a few events, and I just want to make sure if people are interested, they can see the calendar at the U.S. Embassy website at bs.usembassy.gov, and that's got all the events and the different partners participating in them if somebody wants to go.
All right. I have a few more questions for you, but I'd like to pass the mic over to you now.
Oh, sure. Just to talk more about Pride or the politics of it?
Well, no, to talk more about Pride, but I can get into the questions. The questions are all sort of Pride related this morning. Go on.
You know, Aaron, one thing I've heard, I listen to a lot of Bahamian radio, and one thing I've heard is that a lot of people don't even know what LGBTQI+ stands for. So maybe we should start with that.
All right, well, let's go there. We know LGBTIQ+ is an acronym, and it attempts to identify all of the variations, the different parts of the community, but hold the community as a whole. And so L is stands for lesbian, G stands for gay, B stands for bisexual, T stands for transgender, I stands for intersex, Q, questioning, and it's a space where people are not certain what it is that they're feeling or desiring, but want space to interrogate themselves, right? It's slightly different from bisexual. Bisexual is when you are romantically or sexually attracted to people of both sexes, men and women. Now, intersex is a new word in the Bahamian consciousness, but a word that people should be familiar with, because intersex is the appropriate or politically correct or correct, a medically correct term for what we refer to or have referred to as hermaphrodites. And so people often sort of back off when you use the term intersex, not realizing that they are actually very familiar with people with this term and people who are declared medically as intersex. There are a couple of A's in there. One A is for ally, right? And it's important to recognize these people as a part of the community, because they often take on the brunt and experience the same types of violence that people in the community experience, simply because they're perceived to be LGBTI because of their commitment to supporting the community or their ease with LGBTI people. Did I do a good job?
Yeah, sure. You know, the other thing is that sometimes Q is interpreted as queer.
As well, yes.
I actually, you know, the point is that all these acronyms, you know, they attempt to sort of reflect the diversity of human sexuality and human gender identity. And I know it's confusing and it's such a mouthful, right? Mm-hmm. LGBTQI+. It's so terrible. But until we come up with a better term to kind of reflect that diversity among human beings, I mean, that's what we got. So that's what we're working with right now. Right. Thanks for defining it.
And queer has become quite a popular word. In fact, when you look at the schedule, you will see a couple of events referred to as queer events. And it's an interesting word and space in the Caribbean context because queer was a slur many, many years ago. And so people who, like queer is a term that I sort of adopted from my engagement with Global North advocates and writers like Bell Hooks and Audre Lorde, right? Even though they had deep connections to the Caribbean already, south into the Caribbean, I realized that queer was perceived as a slur by older community members and older Caribbean people. What's fascinating now is that some of these older people will say, I don't like you using the word queer to define yourself because it only brings up or it only has negative connotations for me. And so it's interesting to see the way that language and culture has shifted over time and in the region with the advocacy coming both sort of from the south up and from the north down.
Yeah, it's the same, you know, it's really the same way with the N-word. You know, some people are very comfortable using the N-word in a familiar or even in an affectionate way.
Yes.
But other people, like you know, my grandparents would never touch that word. I don't use that word. So there, you know, there are different levels of comfort. But I agree with you. It's very interesting to see how languages evolve and how these markers, these identity with the language.
Absolutely. So I've got a couple more questions. I want to ask, there have been a couple of issues in the media recently related to LGBTI rights. And I want to ask these two sort of, one is a follow-up question to the first. But what is your response and the embassy's, the U.S. government's response to people that accuse the U.S. government of forcing LGBTI rights on other countries, right? And they say, is the U.S. government's policy to promote LGBTI rights really global human rights work, or is it foreign policy? Political policy.
I mean, does it have to be one or the other? I personally see it as human rights work. But also, you know, my job professionally, I'm a diplomat. My job is to reflect the foreign policy of the U.S. administration. And in this case, this is President Biden's administration. So it makes it a foreign policy issue as well. So it's both. You know, President Biden has been unequivocal in his support for the LGBTQI+. He hosts them at his home. He has issued presidential proclamation supporting them and initiated legislation protecting them. And, you know, one thing I'm very proud of my president for is that it was his very first day in office and his very first day after getting signed in as president, he put forth a presidential memorandum standing up for committing to the protection of the LGBTQI+ community. So it is absolutely part of this the Biden administration's priorities, and it's my job as a diplomat in the field to support and to promote them. This is happening worldwide at U.S. embassies all over the world.
Absolutely, and the follow-up question is also: how do you respond to people who will say this Pride celebration and the act of raising the flag is really a Trojan horse to force trans rights, LGBTI rights, but specifically trans rights and gender-affirming care for minors in other countries and in the Bahamas?
Well, Trojan horse, it would be very hard to stuff a Trojan horse, but I really know how that would work. I guess the idea is that we have some kind of ulterior motive, when in fact it's been very, very clear, from the president's mouth, which is that this is about protecting people's rights and allowing them freedom of expression, freedom of creativity. You know, it's also sort of a fundamental principle of democracies, of open societies, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. So I don't know what the ulterior motive would be here. But, you know, the president has been very clear where he stands on this. And so have I.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if it is foreign policy, and if it is a foreign policy intended to destabilize, then I say an effective response on the ground in any jurisdiction is to not allow divisions to exist between LGBTI citizens and other citizens in order to create a country that's imperialism and global political and economic pressures. And I think that's the response, right? That's the strategy to be engaged for those who fear that this is an intentional strategy, right, to destabilize countries.
Yeah, Aaron, that is a very diabolical interpretation of what is actually a very standard and relatively innocuous demonstration of celebration and love. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but, you know, I do believe that the United States and the Bahamas, we're close partners. We understand each other. You know, Bahamians spend so much time in the United States and Americans spend so much time here. Like, where would be the, where's the imperialism? You know, we're sisters. And so, I think the other thing we have to remember, Aaron, is it's not that we just parachute in once a year during June and do Pride Month. I mean, the United States is active on all kinds of fronts, mm-hmm. on social issues, on human rights, also on our bread and butter issues like our law enforcement cooperation, yes. Our service to Bahamians, our services in terms of visas, the services we provide to American citizens, our diplomatic relationship with the Bahamian administration. So like we work so intensely and in such a committed way together every day of the year. So this is, you know, this is a single issue that the United States stands for, that we express, but we work on many, many issues together, and nobody is saying that it's a partnership. And it's a long partnership that we've enjoyed since the Bahamas gained independence almost 50 years ago.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. On that note, June is Caribbean Heritage Month in the United States of America.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And we know that Vice President Kamala Harris is coming to the Bahamas to attend a meeting. My only question is this. Does she have time? Is there any intention of her participating or attending any of the Pride events that are happening in the month of June?
Yeah, so we're still shaping her agenda for right now. But let me be clear. She's coming to the Bahamas as an opportunity to speak with Caribbean leaders about clean energy and climate change. That is really the fundamental purpose of this visit. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, Aaron, this is so exciting for me to welcome my vice president to the Bahamas. This is her first official trip to the Caribbean, and it's a huge occasion and for celebration. I mean, you know, you mentioned Caribbean Heritage Month. Mm-hmm. So many people from the Caribbean have contributed to the United States in every single way you can imagine. And so for her to come down here during Caribbean Heritage Month and meet with Caribbean leaders and reinvigorate those ties with the Caribbean, it's so, so exciting.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah. Another question on the table quickly. Have asylum requests and refugee claims from the Bahamas and the Caribbean increased or decreased over the last few years? And I'm sure you don't have any statistics in front of you, so I don't expect a hard-on, accurate, a number or statistic, but has there been a shift in the movement of people?
Yeah, you're right, Erin. That's the kind of question I need a little heads up on so I could look into it. But I will say that, we work very closely with the Bahamas on promoting safe, orderly, legal migration and to interrupt those who would attempt to traffic or smuggle humans across the archipelago. So that forms the basis of our relationship. And of course, we work also closely with the Bahamas on issues of refugees, because we want to separate those with a legitimate, credible fear of return from those who are simply migrating. And that's an important principle that we and the Bahamas both adhere to, and it's part of our commitments to the United Nations.
Are there any information sessions during this month's celebrations where people can access more info?
Well, I mean, you could always go to the embassy. There is the embassy website. There is information on there where you can refer to, find out what the legal avenues are. What's the difference between, say, a refugee or a migrant? Those topics are covered at the embassy website. And I mentioned it earlier, but if you don't mind, I'm going to throw it out there again.
Yes, please.
It's bs.usembassy.gov.
All right. And so I know you have to go, a busy day. What are the what events are you attending and most excited about in this year's calendar of events?
Oh, wow. It's tough. There's a lot of good stuff out there. I'm really proud of my partners for stepping up and doing this. I didn't make it to the Turn Gallery last year, so I plan to do that again this year. The National Gallery will be showing a film, and that was really a lot of fun last year. I'll do that again. I'm interested in going over to the Dilly Club to have one of their specialty Pride cocktails, and you can probably sense a trend here on Pride beer as well. So
absolutely.
Lots of stuff to do this month.
Absolutely. I hope to see you out at the Pride Fest, at the Safe Space event at ICE. That's the incubator for creative exhibitions on the BAIC compound.
Yeah, the Incubator for Creative Expression is holding an event, and I believe that's on Saturday.
Yes.
And I will definitely be showing up to that. So I'll see you there, Erin.
Absolutely. Time for you to stock up on your world-famous rum fingers, perfect for Pride celebrations in the Bahamas and across the world. I hope that you have a wonderful day, madam. Thank you for joining us today and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, Erin. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. A producer, take us to a break. And when we get back from the break, I have got a trivia question for you guys from the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Sousou to take place tomorrow, Labor Day, Friday, the 2nd of June, at 8 a.m. to 12. Take us to the break, producer.
You know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We just finished a conversation with Mrs. Usha Pitts, chargé d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy. We're talking about June 1st, the beginning of Pride Month, celebrated in the United States and in many countries across the globe. The Bahamas' Pride celebration, the current one, takes place in October, and I think they have the local committee that organized this year's, the fourth annual Pride Bahamas 2023. Their theme for this year is Forward, Upward, Onward, Together, Road to Inclusion, and our local Pride will be held the 4th to the 10th of October. That's Pride Bahamas. I got a lot of texts this morning. I'm going to open up the phone line because you could share some of these sentiments over the phone as well. You don't have to. I'm forcing you to do anything. I may read some of these texts. I may not. Depends on how I feel. But more importantly, I want to open up the phone lines because I've got another ticket to give away. I've got another ticket to give away today for the Hannah Hasty Tynes South Out, taking place tomorrow, Labor Day, Friday the 2nd of June. It's a very quick question, easy to answer. I will take the answer by phone or by text line. So the numbers to call are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316, that's 325-4316. 325-4259, that's 325-4259. And our toll-free number for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. And you know, as always, the Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Producer, I see we have a call on the line. Let's go to that call quickly, and then I'm going to announce the trivia question. Let's see what's going on. Did they call to answer the trivia question, but they haven't heard it yet? Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello, good morning to you, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Now, we're agreeing to disagree, right?
Okay.
I want to say how nice it is to have the ambassador, and in disagreement, if it's okay under the Amendment 2 or Constitution, like, we don't really want to promote that stuff what you guys are talking about. Plenty of us don't.
Okay.
And I it's uncomfortable to know that there's a foreign entity coming into our country and kind of like pushing in a way for the interest or even the information to be put out there. And what happens all the time is these foreign people come to our country and influence us in such ways and you all spoke about imperialism, but in actuality, that is bullying smaller countries into believing and taking up the actions that they're doing in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, like being able to marry the gender of an opposite, the same sex, and all of that, and it's like the LGBTQI, like it sounds so sinister. Like it, there's no way for me to pretty it up or for you guys to even put it across the airways that is something good. Everybody have a choice. God gave all of us a choice to sin or to not to sin. But that's something personal you and your God have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not no government or no legislation saying, oh, this is this or this is that. Nobody pushed to be straight. Nobody pushed being straight on nobody. Or heterosexual or homosexual. Like, if that's what you're doing, that's just on you. That's your preference. I don't think it should be something like internationally, like spoken about and given rights to. I could be wrong, and that's just, you know.
No, man. I want to say, don't say you could be wrong. I appreciate the sentiments that you shared. Just particularly, I appreciate it because I know that a lot of people feel the same way that you do, and a lot of people are saying right now, that's it right there. That's an accurate reflection of what we're feeling. I also appreciate the manner in which you expressed it, right? What you presented to us was a degree of respect, even for people who you don't necessarily understand or agree with. And I really do appreciate that. And I say this because I can appreciate how it feels small place next to such a large place and constantly be inundated with their culture and their music and feel like have what you need to hold on to your culture and what's most important to you. Right? Like I appreciate all of that. And I want to thank you for sharing that this morning. I want to engage. I want to ask you some questions. You or the audience member to think that I am attempting to be disrespectful by putting these questions or thoughts on the response to what you said. If you want to hold the line for a second?
Cause I can.
Yeah, because I want to what I'm saying. I appreciate when you said that there are people don't want people pushing homosexuality on us. And you said, like, you don't see people pushing homosexuality on children or on other people, right? And I want to put a pin there because I would argue that's not quite true. I would argue that we are seeing a hypersexualization. And I think what is being promoted is heterosexuality, the sexual side, right, is being promoted. And I think it's problematic because we are over-sexualizing everything and things that shouldn't have anything to do with sex, that, you know, they have to be somehow, sex has to be involved to the point now where all of these people, young people in particular, that a man can't have women friends, female friends, because there has to be some sexual or romantic interest there. And they say it particularly of men, a man isn't going to be friends with a woman, just pure friends, without in the back of his mind waiting. Oh, I sorry, brethren. In the back of his mind, waiting for an opportunity to initiate a sexual relationship or sexual intimacy. And I think that's a sign of us promoting heterosexuality, right? Like, man and woman can't be friends. They have to be. It have to be some inkling of a sexual relationship there. But I really thank you very much, caller, for sharing. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning. How you do?
Good morning to your guests. You know, I'm floating along, but I share the sentiments of the last caller, but I'm not intimidated or even like the development of this conversation, but I was just wondering, you know, the pride, what is there to be prideful about? But then I just wanted to share that I'm upset with the imposition because I see where, you know, this is something that is, I'm 59 years old, so we know about homosexuality. But what I'm appalled about is the imposition on the young children where I see there's information, there's posts floating around on the internet where you have teachers now trying to engage the students with these sexual deviances in which a five-year-old is asked to go home and ask her father about ejaculations and erections, et cetera.
Hold on. Two things. In the Bahamas?
No, I'm talking
in the United States.
It's circulating not here in the Bahamas, but we're still looking at the impositions. Who's driving these impositions? And then there's also one in which the teacher was telling the students that there's nothing wrong with an adult wanting to have intimacy with a five-year-old. And
okay,
there's a new
euphemistic. Right. Let's take it from right there. We know that that's just ridiculous, right?
I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
They're being euphemistic. They're calling it. They're not calling it pedophilia anymore. They're calling it micro attraction or minor attraction to something. I can't do that. I can't remember the acronym. She should be able to say it. I just want to know what's her opinion on that because they're coming after the children now. So only a fool cannot see the global agenda.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying, Aaron. It's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Anyone who's well-read. And so I kind of disagree with your texter, I mean, with your guest, when she comes and speak about she can't see where certain thoughts are coming from. She has to understand some people are well-read and was following the global agendas for maybe as long as she was living. So we all kind of have the same minds. You know, some people are just more conscious about certain things than others, and we have to forgive one another for that. And what I'm seeing is a global imposition, and there has to be agenda, and there has to be a force behind it. There's a force behind everything.
Okay. All right. Blessings 52. I just want to make the note that the chargé is no longer in studio. But thank you, 52. A couple of things you said there, and I appreciate what you said about not everybody being as quick to understand these things as others, and we have lenience, right? We have mercy and grace for them. I really appreciate that. I just want to make this point clear. Ain't no right thinking, ain't no sensible human on this planet and in this country is promoting the idea that an adult having sex with a minor is kosher. Pardon me, that's bad language. Pardon me, Judaic community. That it's okay. Nobody is promoting that. You don't mind the Minister of National Security talking foolishness about a seven-year-old could consent to sex. In fact, y'all didn't mind it. I ain't hear one of y'all say that man have to go home. No more politics for him. No more governance for him. Disbar him. He got up wearing your suit in your job to tell you that he thinks a seven-year-old could consent to sex, even though the law will not recognize it. And y'all didn't jump up in arms at that? Y'all come follow me to the Ministry of National Security and let's ask Mr. Wayne Monroe to resign. See, because I agree with you. No minor, no five-year-old, no six-year-old should be having sex with nobody. No seven-year-old, no eight-year-old, no nine-year-old, no 10-year-old. We understand that children experiment and play. We attempt to prepare them to avoid that, to prevent that. So don't text my show like this person who texted my show saying they also add the P for pedophile. Who is they? Not a right-thinking member of any society is acknowledging pedophilia. Intimate relationships between adults and minors as okay, as decent, as legal. Don't mind the Minister of National Security. We're supposed to fire him. Take me to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Man, you got some powerful emotion, yeah.
I just don't like people ignoring what is right in their face.
But you need to explain when he said the ATO can give consent. I checked it out legally. I don't see it there. So you have to explain or apologize.
He have the whole House of Assembly. He have the whole floor. He have the whole of Cabinet.
Yes.
He have the whole of government to take his time and explain it to us.
Right, but you said the Hannah's family is having a South.
The Hannah Hasty Times Family Association.
Right, the Hannah's family. Yeah. I know a bunch of Hannah's, so.
So you buying a ticket?
Well,
I'll deliver it.
All for the ticket.
$12 for ribs, chicken, turkey, pig feet, sows, $15 for sheep tongue. But I can't really talk about it like that, you know?
No. You said, I want to take my man. They don't deliver it, you said?
Yeah. I will personally deliver to you. But do me a favor. Call me off air about that.
Sure. I just want to also say that I want to appreciate Erica for doing a job that I have a bad service at BTC. So that's why I saw off the line. I couldn't call you.
Ah, okay.
And I had to call Erica.
Mm-hmm.
I told Ms. Coakley, give a special thanks for getting BTC to do their job and stop being lousy.
I got you. Thank you.
So I really want to appreciate that because I miss listening to you and
calling in. Yes.
Yeah, calling in and calling anybody. Call 919 if you had an emergency.
You see what I'm saying?
Right, but Ms. Cooper and Erica and the team down there,
yeah.
They really are a regulator. They really don't play with the telecommunication companies.
Thank you.
Why did you say BTC? Cable more sufficient.
Thank you.
They don't play with BTC.
I got you.
I had to say that today.
Yeah, man.
And Aaron Green, I'm going to join you tomorrow with sport. You'd call NBA, man. My team looks so decent, Aaron.
I won't join you tomorrow as well, but you got to come find me at the Arawaki, at the Hannah Hasty Times South Park, because tomorrow's a public holiday.
Oh, my
with Pumpkin
God.
Eater, I got another.
Have a good day.
Yeah, man, I got another caller on the line. Let's
all
go
right.
to this next caller. Thank you so much, Pumpkin Eater. Good morning, caller. You about to be on the clock. How are you?
Hey, Miss Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, everything cool. Thank God for life. For those who know, poor for you. Miss Green, I didn't catch the part with Wayne Monroe when he said that. But, you know, us humans, sometimes when your mouth turns upside down, you say anything out of it.
Yeah.
That's sad if we really think that.
He also
I just hope anyone, if a 7-year-old ever try to attempt or 8-year-old to try to say they give consent, don't listen to that. Don't do that.
No.
Rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
And any man who could look you in your face and say, that little child told me she consented, you know what to do with them.
And
you politely escort them to the police station.
And that go woman or man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, tell me something.
Yes,
It sound like it's a split between the, what you call the original homosexual lesbian and this LGBTQI and all of the stuff like that, and the trans sites who won't go in the bathroom, who say they believe these boys after they was girls when they born and all that stuff, and the reading of the education part with the sex in the schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like the original homosexuals or lesbians. They don't normally agree. Help me to understand that maybe I wrong and they all agree with everything what they push in. Then what about I listen? They go on as far as to say, not because you have a vagina makes you a woman.
Right,
and it's
right,
sometimes
right,
so
right.
sad, you know. I can understand, not understand, but that's their rights if they want to change their sex, man or woman. But the coach for us say, I mean a womb.
How do you
a man can't have no children, man.
Right.
I mean, you know if they doing that yet? Man having children?
Boy, look here.
I believe if you have a vagina it makes you a woman. If you have a certain choice or lifestyle you won't go on, then that's your right.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
But it sounds like it's a split. Let me know if you think they all agree on the same thing.
Let's start there. No, not all members of the community, the LGBTI community, agree on everything. And what you find, like, what is common in most spaces in society, even within these small categories of people, there's massive disagreement. Like, you look at the Christian church.
Same thing.
The Catholic Church can tell you they're the one and only.
Mm-hmm.
The Anglicans can tell you they're the one and only. Some other denominations going to tell you that those other denominations are blasphemous.
I think God here to judge all of us, even us who say we straight, because we all sinning in different ways. God here to judge us all. But
let me get to your question. So. Yeah. What you will find in the community, and this is what I experienced as an advocate, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of lesbian, gay, bisexual people, right?
And we original, make, right? original.
And we make that distinction between trans people.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the purpose of the conversation, first things first, a lot of people don't even use the language lesbian, gay, and bisexual. That's language that advocates use.
Give me the word.
The way you said it was good.
But give me the right word.
No, man, that's just it. Most people are just like, man, don't call me no lesbian. Or they'll say, don't call me that. They're just in relationship with someone of the same sex. And they don't identify using that language. They just don't use it.
Maybe different is a better word.
Yeah, that's right. That's how people feel about themselves. When you see advocates like myself get on the radio to have conversations with political leaders and religious leaders, then we begin to use this language, lesbian, gay, bisexual, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we get there, a lot of people in the community think, listen, don't stop this advocacy. Stop making us visible. Just please, we just want to live a life free of violence, and that's it. Right? I'm not into all of this. Just they tell me, Aaron Green,
I
shut up.
I respect them, said. Sorry, it ain't my choice to pick or what, but I respect them, said. Because God's here to judge us all. But this other part where they're going so far further,
questioning
who is a woman from who ain't a woman.
Right, so I appreciate you. So there's not necessarily a separation in the communities. There's a separation in the issues, right? And so
The message.
A lot of gay people will say, man, listen, I don't understand trans either, and it's just too much. Y'all just be quiet. And so you're going to find that, first of all, not everybody in the LGBT community cares about advocacy and policy and all of that. They just don't care. And
you think they should?
I think that they should, but that doesn't mean that it needs to be visible, right? Like there's the politics of visibility and there's the privilege of invisibility. But more importantly, most people don't want to live their lives that way. They just want to live. They just want to live a life free of violence.
I think it's okay to be visible, even instead of going to the extreme, you know. But it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And it's the message.
Right.
I don't know if it's the message.
And so for me, in terms of my advocacy, I say to people, focus less on who people say they are and focus more on how people behave and be a part of the community. We can't judge people for who they are, or regulate, but we can say to people in the community, you have obligations as a community member.
Yes.
Right? And so without sort of promoting respectability politics, because when we promote respectability politics, it's a slippery slope, and then we say Rasta can't get a job because he have locks. We don't want to go down that road, but what we're saying to people is, look here, what I say to people is, I don't care if you're gay or who you're sleeping with, once you ain't sleeping with children, once you're not engaging in relationships and activities that are disruptive to the community as a whole.
Yes.
You know? But
yes, mean even as far as you say sleeping, but you mean even influence or trying to influence children.
Yes, I think that then this is what I talked about, a hypersexualized world.
Yeah.
Right? We want to say that it's gay people who are responsible for this hypersexualization. I could be honest with you all, it's media and marketing.
Aaron, you need to talk about this more. No,
yes,
you don't
sir.
Talk about it that much, but you need to talk about it more.
Yeah,
I know you ain't scared, but let's talk about it more. I hope everyone just be mature. You got to be mature with Aaron. Aaron is a sweet lady, man. Come on.
And the contributions.
Hey, you see if you could invite me and Monroe to come in or call into the show so you can find out what the foolishness is saying.
Yeah.
You have a nice weekend.
Absolutely. We need to work that out because Wayne Monroe is too valuable of a community member to cancel him. Right? because of a statement like that, but we need to interrogate that statement. Producer, I leave it to you. Tell me if I have enough time. I got enough time. Good morning, caller. You the last caller of the day, and then I got to go. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Ann, and everyone there.
Yes, sir.
You brought up the church a while ago, right?
Yeah.
About how they fight amongst themselves.
As a reference to show how members of the same communities could have very different perspectives
right,
and beliefs
right.
on the
I
same
always
thing.
Say that too. I always say that too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You hear what happened last month? The story here? You're talking about abusing children and minors. Nearly 2,000 children in Illinois sexually abused by the clergy, report says.
Oh, man.
451 clerics and religious brothers abused children between 1950 and 2019, and it hurts my heart, man.
Yes, sir.
You know? Because what they're focusing on is a deflection from what is really going on in this world.
Yes.
You understand? What's going on by people who are supposed to be uprighteous leaders who we're supposed to look up to.
Yes.
It's going on in those areas.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. As we close the show, I have a text here, just the last thing. Aaron, have you seen the TED Talk on pedophiles? If not, go watch it. Before you say no one is promoting it, they're grooming children in schools. Read my text, please. I didn't say no one was promoting it. I said sensible people, decent people, mature people, people who we listen to, people who we regard as sensible, none of them are promoting man-boy love, child-adult love, pedophilia, right? No sensible person is promoting that. Not in my Bahamas. Not one sensible person is promoting it. Anyway, Labor Day is tomorrow, people, and I gots to go. I gotta get out of here. I didn't do the second giveaway, but here's what we're gonna do. Come out to Frankie Gone Bananas at Arawaki tomorrow, 8 a.m., and I will have a trivia question. Come out to the booth and see if you could win yourself a free souse to the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association souse out tomorrow, Labor Day, June the 2nd, 2023. Bahamas, have a wonderful weekend. Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. I just want to thank the person who gave me this pineapple, and I want to thank Mr. Knowles, my mango giver. Y'all have a great weekend.